Do we always make use of all of God's resources?
No, we don't.
But it's not for lack of supply. It's not for lack on God's part. You see, God has given you and me, He has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
I want you to know something very important today. This very important thing that I want you to know today is this, that you were made to know God. Amen. You were made to know God. And so what aim or purpose or direction should we set our hearts toward? What should we set as our aim in life? It should be to know God. What is the eternal life that Jesus gives? It is to know God, the knowledge of God. In fact, the Gospel of John chapter 17, Jesus says, this is eternal life. He gives us a definition of eternal life, Jesus does, in which he says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's Jesus' own definition of eternal life. To know God. To know God. Scriptures also tell us, what is the best thing in life that brings more joy, more delight, and more contentment than anything else? It is knowledge of God. Now, don't mistake what I just said there. I did not say that if we're a follower of Jesus, that we will know nothing but joy and delight and contentment every day for the rest of our lives, right? I didn't say that because the Christian life is a difficult challenge at times, isn't it? But what brings joy, what brings delight, what brings contentment more than anything in the world could possibly bring or give, that is the knowledge of God, knowing God. So if this is what we're made for, if this is what is so important, we might ask then, well, how can I know God and how can I grow? How can I grow in my knowledge of God? Well, before we look at that, first I want to talk about something that has happened to me before. And I'm going to bet that this has happened to all of us here at one time or another. And that is, you are going on a trip. And you're thinking about everything you're going to need, and you're carefully packing to make sure that you bring along everything that you need. You think that you're all set, and now you're on your way to your destination, and then it hits you. How many know what I'm talking about? You forgot something, didn't you? Then you forgot X. You forgot Y. You forgot Z. See, you don't have everything that you need. Well, I want you to know that when it comes to this journey toward life and godliness, toward knowledge of God, that never happens. See, because God has packed for us, and He has put in that everything we need. Everything we need for life, for spiritual life, vitality, for godliness, everything we need for knowledge of God, He has supplied. He has given. Now, we might not always make use of it. Do we always make use of all of God's resources?
No, we don't.
But it's not for lack of supply. It's not for lack on God's part. You see, God has given you and me, He has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. So we're going to look in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Before we read that, though, a little context here. As Peter is writing this, he is warning them about false teachers in their midst. You see, the church was being invaded by false teachers. Not unlike the situation in our day, is it? But the church was being invaded by false teachers who were putting forth a false kind of knowledge, a false kind of knowledge. So the Apostle Peter is warning them about that. And he is defending the true gospel. And so he has a lot to say about true knowledge, not false knowledge. So he wants to combat false doctrine, false Christian life, with true doctrine and true knowledge of God. So before I read the text, I want to ask you something here. I want you to thank God and to praise God as I'm reading this text. I'm going to read it twice. It's a short passage. And the first time I'm going to read it through, and I want us just to see the general flow of the passage, what is there. But then after I've read it the first time, I want to read it again. And I'm going to ask you to thank God and praise God and reflect upon that as I'm reading it. All right. So here is the first one. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. He says, Simeon Peter, or Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Now, I want to read this again. And again, I want to challenge us here. As I read this a little bit more slowly, I want you to think carefully about what is being said here. To thank God and to praise God. Ask, what does this mean specifically here? So here we go. So Simeon or Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Amen?
Amen.
So as we reflect upon their text here today, I want us to thank and praise God. Thank and praise God for these things. First off, I want us to thank and praise God. Thank and praise God for your calling in Christ. For your calling in Christ. He starts off, this author of the letter here, Peter, Simon Peter, or Simeon Peter, identifying himself there. Some may wonder, Simeon Peter, what's that? I thought it was Simon Peter. I've heard that before. What is Simeon? Some of your translations that you're using may say Simon Peter. Others, if you're using the ESV, maybe it says Simeon Peter. Wait, did they get this wrong? No, but you see, that word Simeon is the Hebrew word that can sometimes also be translated Simon, Simeon, same word. But what's interesting for us to note here is he calls himself Simeon or Simon Peter. He had both of those names. They were both his names. Simeon, or Simon, emphasizes his Hebrew or Jewish background. Peter emphasizes the role or mission that Jesus had given him to be an apostle to all people, including Gentiles, right? So Peter then emphasizes a Gentile name, Hebrew Gentile, Jewish Gentile name. It would be like, for example, if I were going to go as a missionary to China, and I might go there, and my name is Dan. Now, I don't speak any Chinese, but if I was going to China, I would probably want to learn some Chinese, right? But perhaps I might be given a Chinese name. And so I would identify myself as Dan, and I don't know Chinese, so I don't have a Chinese name to tell you. But I would do that in order to what? To relate or identify to the people I'm ministering to. So I think when he calls himself Simeon Peter or Simon Peter, he is identifying and relating both to Jews and to Gentiles. That he is on a mission that is for all people. That it's for all people. And he says he is a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Notice he says he's a servant first. He doesn't say he's an apostle. An apostle and a servant. He says a servant and apostle. That he's emphasizing that he is a servant of Jesus Christ. That's what it's humility there. Now, this is Peter, a servant and apostle. He served Jesus in his life, in the ministry that he had been given, but he was an apostle. An apostle literally means one who has been sent. And so Peter and the other apostles had been sent into the world to proclaim the gospel. So he was a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. But you notice I put up there, thank and praise God for your calling in Christ. I've been talking about Peter's calling in Christ. He was a servant and apostle. Well, guess what? You have, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have a calling in Christ too to be a servant and apostle. Now let me explain something here in just a minute. Peter was a servant. You and I are called to be servants, right? We are all called to be servants of Christ. Apostle. There are no apostles today, okay? The apostles was a select group of individuals in the days of Jesus. But so there aren't apostles today. But that word apostle literally means one who has sent. Are there people now who have been sent on a mission into the world? Yes, that's every one of us, right? So we are all apostles in the sense of being ones who have been sent to take the gospel into the world, to testify of Jesus Christ. And so just as Peter had a calling on his life in Christ, so do you and I. You're called to be a servant of Christ and one who is sent into the world to proclaim the gospel. So we're not all apostles, but in fact, there aren't any today, but we are called to go forth into the world with the gospel message, just as Peter and the other apostles did. So thank and praise God for your calling in Christ. By the way, did you deserve that? Do you deserve your calling in Christ? No. You don't. I don't. But this is a precious privilege we have been given. To serve him, to know him, to serve him, to go forth and proclaim him. So thank and praise God for your calling in Christ. Thank and praise God, too, for your faith in Christ. You might think if we were living in those days, here Peter is an apostle, he had a certain standing among the people that was a little different than others as an apostle. But you notice how he does not elevate himself above them. He says that he is a servant and apostle. And then he says, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours. Right? That his faith was not greater, and his standing in Christ was not greater than theirs. But it was a faith of equal standing. a faith of equal standing with ours, he and the other apostles. They too had received this great faith, an equally great faith, through their own self-righteous efforts? No, through the righteousness of Christ. You have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. See, Peter had this faith. Peter was given a gift, this faith of righteousness that was his, that was given to him, that was achieved through the righteousness of God in Christ. And in the same way then, today, our faith isn't based on our works or our righteousness, is it? It's by the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So we are on the same level with the apostles. A faith of equal standing. And the basis of it isn't anything we've done, it's what Jesus has done for us. By our righteousness, by his righteousness. Interesting, it says it's the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is our God and Savior. Once again, some have suggested or tried to say that, well, the Bible doesn't teach that Jesus is God, that Jesus is divine. To which our standard reply to that is what?
Have you read it?
Have you read the Bible, right? Maybe you need to go back and reread it. But you see right here, it says, this righteousness is ours through Jesus, who is what? Who is our God and Savior. This is not two separate individuals, our God and then our Savior, Jesus. No, Jesus, who is our God and Savior, Jesus.
Amen.
Very clear statement of the deity of Jesus right there. So thank and praise God for your calling in Christ. Thank and praise him for your faith in Christ, which is based not on anything you've done, but by his righteousness, what he has done, Jesus, our great God and Savior.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank and praise God then too for grace and peace. For grace and peace in Christ. Anybody here need God's grace? I need it daily. I need it daily. Yeah, not even daily. I need it, yeah, moment by moment. I need it every second, right? There are days when I feel it intensely that I need it every second, right? It says this grace and this peace, then, may it be multiplied to you. Now, can we... Is it possible for God to be any more gracious to us than he already has been and is? No, it isn't. But when he says, may it be multiplied to, what's Peter talking about then? He's talking about what? Our reception or experience of God's grace and peace. May it be multiplied to you. May you grow in your reception, in your understanding of God's grace and peace. When the scriptures speak of peace, while there is peace with God, being in right standing with him through righteousness in Jesus, but then there is the peace of God, that is his presence with us in the midst of trial and difficulty then. And here I think what's being emphasized is this peace of God, that he is with us in trial and difficulty. So may the grace and the peace of God be multiplied to you. May it grow and grow. Your understanding, your experience, your reception of that. And how? How might grace and peace be multiplied to you? Well, Peter tells us right there. What? Through what? Through the knowledge of God. Through knowing God, we experience in greater, greater levels the grace and peace of God. Through knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. But you recall, as we saw before, knowledge about God and knowledge of God are two very different things, aren't they? When we speak of knowledge, we usually think of knowledge as being like, oh, facts and information. But here, this knowledge is what? It's relationship. Knowledge of God is personal relationship with God, to know God.
Yeah.
Well, if we're going to have this relationship and know God, there are facts that we need to know about God, right? But we can't stop at knowledge about God. It needs to become knowledge of God. How do we grow in knowledge of God? Well, by taking knowledge about God, has been suggested what we meditate on that in the presence of God and turn it into praise and prayer to God. And that's how it becomes knowledge of God.
The
Word of God, that's right. So give thanks and praise then for your calling in Christ, for your faith in Christ, but then also for your grace and peace in Christ, which comes about through the knowledge of God. Give thanks and praise then too for your sufficiency in Christ. That is, that in Christ you have everything you need. I wouldn't dare to venture what percentage of it, how often it happens. When I go on a little trip, whether it's maybe just a little weekend thing or for longer, a couple of weeks or something, I'm going to guess probably about 20% of the time I imagine to forget something. Is that just me? Can anybody else relate, or is that just me, right? As I said, you know what, when it comes to this trip we're on here, this journey to God and knowledge of God, we don't ever have to worry about not having something that we need, because God has done the packing for us.
Amen.
So everything we need, we are sufficient. Christ is sufficient, and we have in Him everything we need. Now, notice it doesn't say everything that we want. Being in Christ doesn't mean that God gives us everything we want when we want it. He says everything that we need for life and godliness. That is what? For spiritual vitality and godliness. To grow in righteous character and conduct. To grow in becoming more like Jesus. Everything we need to do that has been given. So, all things necessary for spiritual vitality, godliness, granted to us in Christ. And so how do we understand these things and make use of these resources? We're told what? Through the what? The knowledge of God. That it is through knowing God that we come to see, understand, make use of all of our resources. Through the knowledge of God. Well, what are those resources that He has given us? Stay tuned for just a minute. We're going to get there, okay? But first, then, thank and praise God for your sufficiency in Christ, that you have everything that you need, and that He has called you to His own glory and excellence. I am not yet who I will be in Christ. And some of you are saying, ain't that the truth, right? Well, I got news for you. Neither any of you, right? None of us are who we will be in Christ. But He has called us to His glory and to His excellence. And one day, soon, in His presence, we will be everything that He has called us to be. We will know His glory. We will see His glory. We will obtain the fullness of His excellence. Now, as we'll see in just a minute, that doesn't mean we're going to be God, right? But we are going to be holy as Jesus is holy.
Yes.
Incredible, isn't it?
Yes.
So thank and praise God for your sufficiency in Christ, but thank Him then too for the promises that you have in Christ, that He has given us precious and great promises. What are the promises of God? First of all, understand that a promise of God is different than a promise of any human being, isn't it? See, now, you can have human beings, we make promises all the time. And sometimes those promises are fulfilled, sometimes they're not, right? See, a promise is only as good as the character and the power of the person making the promise, right? Someone can make a promise, but if their character isn't very good, probably not going to be very confident that they're going to come through on it, right? Or someone can make a promise and maybe their character is very good and they have every intention of doing what they've said, but they don't have all power and we become subject to forces sometimes beyond our control and we're simply not able to fulfill what we had promised someone. So you see, though, with God's promises, that never happens, does it? There's never an issue with his character or his power. He always does what he says he will do, and there is nothing that prevents him from carrying through. So God's promises are sure and certain. And what are God's promises for you? Well, we could spend a good bit of time looking at that, but let me just suggest here, just food for thought right now. Let's look at what Peter himself says about what these great promises of God are for us as believers. In his first letter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, he says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." That's a lot to contemplate. There's your homework. Go home today. Reflect on that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, about God's precious and great promises. There's just a little sampling of it right there. God's promises is what? That he's going to fulfill everything that he has promised to do in us, for us, and through us. So thank and praise God for that. Thank and praise God then for your partaking in Christ. Scripture tells us that through the knowledge of God, through our relationship with him, we become partakers of the divine nature. That is, we share in the character of Christ. Now, understand very clearly here, partaking in the divine nature does not mean that we somehow become God, that we somehow merge with God in some way, partake in his divine nature. Well, we become God, or that perhaps we become God's small g. See, that's what Mormonism teaches, right, Don, Joy, that we become gods? Well, that's not what Scripture teaches, does it? We don't become God and we don't become small g gods, but rather we become human beings in the image of God who fully represent or manifest the righteousness of God in us. So we become partakers in the divine nature. That is, we share in the righteous character of Christ as we grow in holiness, and one day that growth will be complete and full in his presence. One day we will experience perfect holiness in Christ. And it is through all of this then that we have escaped the corruption that is in the world through sinful desire. We see the corruption of the world every day all around us, don't we? If you're a believer in Jesus, you've seen the corruption of the sinful flesh inside of you that still wages war with you, doesn't it? But through Jesus, we have escaped that corruption. So we can give thanks for that. Well, so what? What do you want me to do with this? What difference does this make? Well, I want to take us back to where we started and remind us that God has given us everything. He has given you everything that you need for life and godliness through knowledge of him. That as we grow in knowledge of him, we see all of the resources that he has given us, that there isn't anything like, he didn't forget to pack anything in our suitcase here, that we need for life and godliness, for spiritual vitality and godliness, Christ-like character. It's all there. So it is everything you need. What are those things? Well, let me just suggest a few things for us here today. Close out with this thought. You have everything you need. What do you need for spiritual vitality and godliness? You have His Word, Scripture, to guide, instruct, teach, correct, admonish. I have His Spirit. The Spirit of God lives within you. The Holy Spirit indwells you as a follower of Jesus Christ. And He's not going anywhere. In fact, He's never going anywhere. He is in you for how long?
Forever.
Thank you.
So you have the ministry of the Holy Spirit to teach you, to correct you, to convict you, to teach you the Word of God, to lead you in the way everlasting. And He's not going anywhere. He has also given you His hotline. What do you think I mean by that?
Prayer.
That's how we communicate with Him. He has also given you His church, His body. We need one another, don't we? To encourage one another, pray for one another, come alongside one another, right? And He has also given us what? His very great and precious promises. That's our hope. That He's going to finish what He has begun in us. So this is everything you need for spiritual vitality and godliness. Now we can know these things, and we have them, but we need to make use of them, don't we? So I'll conclude by asking, is the knowledge of God your highest pursuit in life? See, everything else is, as Paul says, everything else is loss or is garbage compared to the surpassing value of what? Knowing Christ Jesus. Nothing else matters compared to the value of knowing God, knowing Christ. Is the knowledge of God your highest pursuit in life? Give thanks and praise to God. I think that's how we grow in knowledge of God. Thinking on the truth about God, who He is and what He has done for us, what He has promised, giving thanks and praise to Him. And finally then, make use of all that He has given you for life and godliness. Got to be in His Word? Obey His Spirit? Use that hotline to talk to Him? Be a part of the fellowship of the church? And live in hope. It is a living hope that we have in Jesus. So let's live in hope. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this living hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you for these precious and great promises that we have in His name. This inheritance that is kept in heaven for us. God, I pray that it would be our greatest desire to know You. The pursuit of You, Lord, is the greatest pursuit of all in life. Lord, may we seek to know You. Teach us, Lord, better what it is to mean what it means to know You. Teach us, Lord, to use those gifts and abilities, those resources that You have given to us, that everything we need, whether it's Your Word, Your Spirit, prayer, fellowship, or ministry of the church, our hope. Thank You for all of these things. May we grow in the grace and peace through the knowledge of You, and bring glory to You, Lord Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.